Welcome to the show. Yes, this is the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Mark Becker. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, as you do all weeks. Again, we're coming from the specialty audio, specialty auto sales studio. Boy, I screwed that up. But, you know, I'm a professional. here's what we got. We have a surprise, amazing guest here today. I had a late cancellation. And I called a friend, phoned a friend, and yeah, and so she's familiar to all of us. So the former host of the show, now state senator, our friend, State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim, how in the heck are you?
Hello. Always good to be back home on the Rational Revolution. You know, yes. We picked this name on purpose. It was so we could have some civilized dialogue with some different perspectives and get people talking once again. And I'm so very proud of this show and what you've continued to do with it. So always, always a pleasure to return and be part of the Rational Revolution.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you to coming on and hanging out with us. And so we're going to do Bill O'Reilly. We're going to do it live. So I have no notes. I have some nice questions, and this is going to test both of our professional abilities here, you know, but
a proper rambling conversation.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be cool. You know, this is your first, what do they call it? A term, or a session, legislative session. So we're just about the end of that.
Yeah. So this is my first go round in what they term silly season.
Okay.
Season in Madison implies it's the end of the session and all chaos breaks loose. You got bills flying from both sides that aren't really very well cooked. Most bills, when they're done properly, they're kind of vetted and you send them to this department to make sure it's okay in that department, and you kind of fine tune them and you finesse them and you get all kinds of support, and then you bring them out. And that's not what happens in silly season. You just get stuff thrown because they want to show that they've been doing something. It's busy as opposed to productive. And then you have the chaos of there's some bills out there that everybody knows we ought to have done already, and we still haven't. So there's that last minute pressure cooker of whether the parties are going to come together, whether anybody's willing to give or lean in, or they're just going to throw it in the corner and go on vacation. That in a nutshell is silly season.
So, you know, is it there are people that kind of think, oh, my God, I what have I done these last 2 years? And they try to just throw Hail Marys and try to justify their work. Yeah, or is it like,
you know, the instruction that I get a lot of times at this time of the year is keep your powder dry.
Yeah.
Because even if it sounds like it's a good idea, it isn't that it isn't a good deal. It's that anything good always has a negative consequence somewhere. And you have to be able to rationalize all of them up, fully vet every idea before you bring it to the big screen. And there's a lot that gets thrown out there that hasn't gone through that. So again, it isn't that all ideas are bad. Yeah. It's that when it's a race to get it in, there isn't enough time to actually get the input that you need to be able to take action on it. So you'll see a lot. And again, if you're in the minority, it doesn't really matter. You can throw all kinds of bills out. You're not going to get a hearing anyway. So a lot of that is just kind of messaging, like, hey, I'd like to talk about this. I would talk about this if you had a hearing, but they're not going to do that. And on the Republican side, a lot of times it's a last ditch effort to get something on the books to show they've been busy. The reality in Madison is that you have some legislatures that are really, really busybodies. Mm-hmm. Like they submit bills all the time. Their name is on something. And then you have some that honestly are only there if they have to be, if it's a hearing. And they do very little other than to show up and vote. So at the end of the season, in addition to the busybodies, then you also have the ones that are kind of coming out of left field to show that they're putting in their time, to show that they're trying to do something.
Like, what the hell is this?
You know, I come from the business world, and this drives me crazy. I don't mind being busy if we're productive. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. I detest busy work.
Yeah.
And busy work is when you spend 12 hours accomplishing nothing. Yeah. That, I mean, a civilized individual knows that is not what anybody wants us doing down in Madison.
No. And how, you know, the entire scape of the political land down there could very well change at this next election.
Well, and yes. And I think in multiple ways. One, we are going to finally have the full fruition of the new maps. And it is, in fact, I saw somebody tweeted out a comment about my district yesterday. Something about the 18th district being the most gerrymandered district in the state. And I'm like, really?
Who it said that?
It is so hypocritical when the state for over 10 years has been drawn at a, 63-64% Republican advantage in a 50-50 state. For anybody from the Republican side to dare say that the maps today are gerrymandered. Listen, no maps are perfect. Everybody can find a flaw, and you absolutely can look at the 18th and say, yeah, maybe they shouldn't have cut out that corner, blah, blah, blah. But let's look at the big picture. The big picture is we finally, going forward at this upcoming election, we finally have a set of maps that has been drawn that actually represents the state of Wisconsin and the way that we have voted for the last decade, which is real close to 50-50, real close. The natural maps, the way they've drawn, still have a Republican lean in the House, and they've got a little bit of a lean to the 50-50 or a lean to the blue in the Senate. That's who Wisconsin is.
Yeah.
That's who Wisconsin is. And I have said from the very beginning, I am about balanced government. To me, balanced government is productive government because there are no automatic wins. And I think what we're seeing in silly season this year at the end of this session is the realization that that's what's coming. Right. And I think that, and I've said that, I truly believe that most people in Madison and DC, for that matter, by and large, are not bad people. They're trying to do good for their state, their district, their whatever it is. They just may have a different version of how that goes.
Yeah.
And my opinion has, again, always been pragmatic. We need two sides of a conversation. We always should have two sides of a conversation because, again, there are always negative consequences to whatever you do. So if you want to save the world, the consequence to that is that we have to be able to pay for that.
Yep.
If you want to reduce taxes, the consequence to that is that you have to take away services. So you can't have one conversation without the other to balance it out. And when you have maps that are skewed to the point where no conversations are needed to balance the conversation, that's bad. And that's what leads to many, 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 many vetoes in the case we've just had. Now, I will say, I will always say yes to a meeting or a panel that includes Republican legislatures and myself, always. Because again, we must start treating each other as civil adults, respectful colleagues, and have conversations. It's okay to have differences of opinion. So I say yes a lot. And, you know, it has to get to the point where we can have a conversation and know that we are going to have to participate with the other side in order to move forward.
Well, I'm gonna break some news here for you. And this is gonna, I just got this email. And you're gonna, I'm sure you'll hear all about this, but this is, and when this airs, this will be old news, but I just got an email that Robin Voss is not going to be seeking another term in the Republican Assembly. You knew that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we expected that was supposed to happen today because he has to basically resign today so that they can vote on a new leader so that they can have session tomorrow. And again, that is all part of what went on last night. So, again, we are recording this on Thursday.
So what is that? What is that? Yeah. Talk about that.
I mean, what has gone on for the last decade is that Robin Voss has had masterful control over his assembly.
Iron fist.
Iron fist. Now, we can take good and bad from that. Oftentimes, my friends will always say that's the bad. The good is that he has led his party and has been one voice. The Republican Assembly has been one voice. Now, the bad in that is that there are two bills that now supposedly are being voted on today. So the postpartum Medicaid bill, which passed, I believe, 32-1 out of the Senate. I mean, talk about bipartisan.
Yeah, right. That's
32
great.
32-1.
That's amazing.
It passed out months and months and months ago, has never been able to get on the docket. Who stood in the way? One person, Robin Voss.
Why did he do that?
And it doesn't matter. My question is, how can one person dictate a 99-person body?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, and again, you can argue on different points, but when you have a bill that comes out of the Senate, which again, we have our own issues, the rule of 17 for the Republicans, when it comes up 32.
What is that?
Rule of 17 is the rule. So Robin Voss's rule is if they don't have 51 votes, they're not going to bring anything to the floor. In essence, for over 10 years, they would not have anything questioned before the vote. They knew it would pass or they wouldn't bring it up. That they don't want to ever rely on the minority. In the Senate, their rule has been 17. So they know they need 17 votes to not need any votes from the minority. Therefore, they have never, never, with the exception of one bill, which was the budget, brought a bill to the floor that they knew they could not pass without the minority being involved, without a single vote. So if you keep that in mind, the bill, the budget was the only exception to the rule. They knew they needed our votes. And in order to get them, they actually had to negotiate, even though we only had 8 days to do it. Balanced government, when you need votes from both sides, it forces the two to come together to give a little bit, right? That's, again, what balance is. So for over a decade, you've got Robin Voss, one voice, controlling everything that comes through the assembly legislature. And on the Senate side, you've got the rule of 17. So any bill that has passed in the state of Wisconsin in the last 10 years has been bipartisan support, because either the governor or Democrats have said yes, and almost all, 98% of the bills are Republican bills.
Right.
Because they won't give the Democratic bill a hearing.
Right.
So bipartisan has been what the minority has been playing, and the governor, since day one.
Right.
Day one. Now, those roles are about to reverse. And I assure you, they're not excited. And there are some in the party, in the Democratic Party, and be like, hey, it's fair, you know, and they want to play that same game back. I will always stay in the realm of, come on, can we bring it back to adult behavior?
Right, and I want to talk about that on the other side of the break here. We're sitting down with Senator Kristen Dessler Alfheim. I do want to talk about that because, you know, when the world is shook, if you will, What happens? I mean, boy, people are going to have to really appeal to their better angels. That's going to be hard. Stick around. This is going to get interesting here. As it's not already been. I mean, come on. We got Senator Kristen Dessler Alfheim here on the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker. Stick around. We will be right back. You better free your mind instead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.